Have you cut the cord and are feeling bored with your streaming services? CuriosityStream can help. With thousands of documentary films and TV shows, let CuriosityStream put the science back in your screen time. Astound you with history come to life and wildlife that will reach out and grab you. We've got the fix for your nonfiction addiction. Watch us on any device, anywhere you are. Visit CuriosityStream.com to sign up and start streaming now.
The holidays are a perfect time to decorate the interior of your home with an award-winning painting contractor. Fortune Restoration's expert plasterers can perfectly repair that crack in the ceiling above the mistletoe. Fortune's team will guide you in selecting the exact Benjamin Moore color to joyfully complement your interior decor. Chicago's finest homes deserve the finest holiday celebrations with the finest contractor, Fortune Restoration. Visit FortuneRestoration.com. That's FortuneRestoration.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
97.1 FM Talk. Good morning and welcome back to Wiggins America. So, been looking forward to talking to Matt Rosenberg. He is on the phone now. He is author of the book, What's Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. And the reason, Matt, that we're talking today is a little known news item that has kind of gone under the cover of night. I live in Illinois myself, and I had not heard about this until it was brought to my attention. Mayor Lori Lightfoot has proposed that more than $31 million as part of her 2022 budget will go to start a universal basic income package in the city of Chicago. Break that down for us.
Well, they're getting the money from federal COVID relief funds from the Biden administration. It's not something that they've got an ongoing allocation for in coming years. So right there, for starters, not a very swift idea in terms of best fiscal practices. Then you get to the whole idea of UBI. Right now, it seems as if the country is already suffering from, frankly, too much financial aid that's been given out directly by the feds. And places that need workers are having a very hard time finding them because people are disincented to work. The only reason is not federal handouts. There are a number of things going on. You know, it's been kind of a whole new environment for people. They're reevaluating their lives, and that, you know, is something I'm sympathetic toward. But this fits with a pattern of increasing payouts with really no strings attached in the age of COVID. And you know, this is the time to be learning new skills and finding really a COVID-proof work future for yourself. Many people have that, the lucky remote workers, and we value our restaurant workers for sure, and retail workers, no disrespect to them. We need them to run our stores and restaurants and shops, but it's not a super secure economic life. So this might be the time to not take handouts. What if the money was repurposed instead for job training programs or tuition or scholarships? That would seem to make a lot more sense to me. But this is going on around the country, and LA is doing the same thing. So are some other cities. It's part of a broad pattern of progressive governance where, you know, the government is the daddy to everybody, and I'm not sure I like that a whole lot.
Yeah, no, that's a great point and well put. Matt Rosenberg is on the phone with us. He's author of What's Next, Chicago? What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. So, I mean, as I said, I'm an Illinois resident. I live downstate, though, and we're talking in St. Louis. But a lot of Illinois listeners here, and so we have kind of a vested interest in what happens in Chicago because Chicago runs Illinois. So when I saw, oh my gosh, we're actually going to be having a universal basic income, at least in Chicago, yes, at right now, that won't impact too much of what the rest of Illinois is doing. But it worries me that looking down the line that, like you said, the major cities in the United States are implementing this. Well, the goal is not so that it stays just in that city. The goal is that people become dependent on it. And I'm assuming, Matt, you still live in Chicago now, right?
I have come back. I lived here for 30 years. I came back last year for several months and moved back in to do field work on the South Side. And then I came back again this fall when the book came out. But I live and have lived for a number of years in Seattle, which... I'm just, wherever I go, trouble seems to follow, or maybe that's just how it goes in big cities today, because if you look at New York, San Francisco, L.A., Philadelphia, Chicago, Seattle, and Portland, which are a real eyeful when you venture into the downtown, I'll tell you that firsthand recent experience. There's a lot going on in our cities, and, you know, I think this quote from a Chicago alderman just yesterday or the day before captures it. You know, the city council had just passed a 16 point something billion dollar budget for fiscal year 2022. Yeah, 16.7 billion. And the chair of the Progressive Caucus, Alderman Sophia King, this is in a good publication called Block Club Chicago. Listen to this quote. She said, while we need to prioritize more progressive structural revenue and direct these resources equitably, especially around racial redress, this is still a progressive budget. Now, there's a lot packed in there, but I'm picking out a few phrases. Number one, progressive structural revenue. Mm-hmm. Think about that one. Directing resources equitably, that gets you to the whole rhetoric around equity. And then she says, especially around racial redress. And she calls those progressive principles. I mean, there's an awful lot to chew on right there, but just start with progressive structural revenue. That means, in this case, you know, creating a program for it for which there is no ongoing funding. But glomming on to federal handouts when they're being thrown around under special circumstances, and then quite possibly creating a funding burden or expectation for the city that they'll have to go to taxpayers next year and the year after to fulfill again. So it's about creating expectations without the resources to back them up. The resources in the end are always taxpayers. And how progressive is it? Going back to what I was saying before, you know, I mean, teach a man to fish, right? Rather than give him a fish. So, you know, there's a whole lot too when we talk about equity. The alderman here, Sophia King, talks about directing these resources equitably. The whole idea of equity is a huge part of the political rhetoric in the city of Chicago. It goes hand in hand with the rhetoric around systemic racism. Nobody really wants to talk about academic achievement, parenting, about keeping control of the young men who are creating spiraling violent crime in Chicago that has reached a new and sort of terrifying level this year and last year. So equity is not a door prize. That's my take. Equity is something you earn. It doesn't mean necessarily you've got equity in a business or a home, although those are great forms of equity. Equity means to me that you've taken ownership of your life plan. And that's something that too many people are scared to talk about in our big cities and in the state legislature. So handouts become a sort of shorthand form of caring, you know, from the government. And that's just not what we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And especially the only time we do talk about racial issues at all is when they are a front for other things. Like in this case, you know, you can say, well, this is a racial issue so that if you oppose universal basic income, they can say, well, that's because you're a racist. And so then the argument ends there. Let me ask you this, though, because I mentioned, you know, do you live in Chicago? And you said Chicago and Seattle. You know, this to me, we're in a time right now where, as you mentioned kind of at the beginning when we started talking here, that the economy right now needs workers bad. We need workers in every field, in every income level across the board. And my guess is that as you survey Chicago and Seattle, you know, it's the same there, maybe even worse than the rest of the nation. And yet, the reasons for those things, the root causes of not needing money because you have so much money being given to you, are only going to get worse if we do universal basic income, in my opinion. What do you think about the future of cities as far as needing workers goes in relation to universal basic income?
Well, I think that, you know, we have to keep in mind cities and people have to innovate. So, you know, I think of guys right now who are getting micro lending funds from a great program down on the southeast side of Chicago through the Chicago Neighborhoods Initiative. Black ex-convicts are getting loans of $20,000 or $40,000 at a pop to buy one or two delivery vans and start delivery services because there are an increasing number of Amazon distribution facilities popping up all over Chicago. Now, that's a great job, especially if you're coming out of jail. The hours are long, you know, but you can make real money. Here's the thing. In 10 years, it might be drones making those last miles deliveries to consumers of Amazon ordered goods. So that speaks to the need to continue really lifelong learning. You know, you might need to know how to operate a drone panel. You know, eventually workers in a lot of restaurants and retail outlets are going to be replaced with automation. We're already starting to see that in supermarkets. So when I look at a handout with no direction attached to it, you know, with no stipulation, if they said, hey, if your income is below level X and here's, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 a year, but you can only use it for professional training at such and such an accredited institute or accredited community college, I would probably be all behind that. That's what equity actually is. It's an investment, not a handout. So when I look at the kinds of jobs we're going to need people for, more and more it's going to be higher level stuff. And more we need not no strings attached handouts, but directed, focused spending to raise the level of skills. And, you know, I won't go into it now because we probably don't have time. But when you look at the performance data for K-12 students in all of your major big U.S. cities at the public schools, it's utterly miserable. They're not meeting the standards on the National Assessment for Educational Progress, a very important test for fourth and eighth graders, math and reading. Notice the nation's report card, nor are they meeting the state level standards of, you know, the equivalent of a C grade on the SATs. In other words, you've got 3/4 to 4/5 of students not making the grade. And with minority students, it's 4/5 or less who are not making the grade in your core subjects. So that kind of stuff cannot be considered apart from stuff like UBI. You know, we're not covering the basics. We're kind of jumping to the to Christmas Day. It's just not a smart way to do business as a government.
And as you mentioned, you know, that government spending on education is not producing the results we'd like. So I question whether government spending even in a lot of these programs would do the same thing. Matt Rosenberg is the author of What Next Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Where do you suggest people get the book if they want to read about it?
Thank you for asking. It's print on demand, so paperback online only at either Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. They just go to either site and enter What Next Chicago in the search box.
Sounds good. Thank you, Matt Rosenberg.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hi, I'm Jon Favreau, host of Crooked Media's new weekly series, Offline with Jon Favreau. If you feel like the internet is breaking our brains, but you still can't put the phone down, this show might help. Each week, I'll be talking to people like Monica Lewinsky, Megan Rapinoe, Peter Hamby, and DeRay McKesson about all the ways our extremely online existence is shaping politics, media, entertainment, sports, business, and more. New episodes of Offline with Jon Favreau drop every Sunday on the Pod Save America feed. Listen on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts.
New on Curiosity Stream. After man landed on the moon, what did all the rocket scientists do?
Hey, let's build a rocket that is simple in concept.
Pushing technology in ways that make today's rockets possible. It's Fly Rocket Fly. And one Mexican drug lord made himself a household name with cunning and savvy.
His business sense is worthy of a Harvard degree.
It's the origin of El Chapo and the CEO of Sinaloa. They're new this week on Curiosity Stream. Annual plans are just $20. Visit CuriosityStream.com.